So today is the last in our series on our core values. They're going to put the list of those core values that we've already covered. You see, the four Sundays already, those are the things that, these are core values. These are, as Pastor Jay said, these are hills we're going to die on, you know. This is important stuff. It's not our doctrine or our theological beliefs or whatever, but it's what we value the most as a church and as a body of Christ here in this town. It's how we fit into the work of the kingdom. And it comes from decades of ministry before us and things that God uniquely put in this church and gave us a footprint of what we should do. And it becomes a portrait, an important portrait of who we are and what we value. So we're in the last one today. And this is number 5. It's called God Gifted You to Grow You. Last week, Pastor Jay did such a good job talking about growing leaders. And he talked a lot about what growth was. You know, in the context of raising up leaders, it's one thing. But I'll be honest with you. Growth is like a fact of life. Like we see it in nature. If you're a gardener or whatever, you know it's in nature. We see it in the human world. Not only in physical growth, but in emotional growth and intellectual growth and social growth. And we know this, if your growth is stunted in any way, it's not a good thing. It hurts everybody and everyone that it touches. Well, spiritual growth is the same way. It has to be nourished. Spiritual growth is important. Look at what the scripture says in Luke 2. Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Jesus, God in the flesh, had to grow. And so we have to grow in the same way. You know, one of mine and Peggy's favorite joys in the world is watching our 7 grandchildren as they grow up. And it's all happening so quickly. It's just happening like overnight. And they grow in all those different ways, and we enjoy watching it. The other day, we were over at Betsy and Nathan's house and watching the little boys, and they said, "Pop, Mia, quick, go upstairs. You got to see the zoo. We want to take you to the zoo." So, of course, we did whatever they say. So we went up the stairs and walked into a room, and I promise you, every stuffed animal in the Smith household was in that room. And the little giraffes were over here, and the 100 bears were over here, and the little, you know, all the things, they were grouping, and we were taking a tour of their zoo. And Graham, the little 3-year-old, says, "Pop, wait, don't touch this." "Why?" And it was a little gecko, and stuffed gecko, and he goes, "It's poison." I said, "Oh, what will happen if I touch it?" "You'll get poison." And I said, "What do we do?" And he got out a glove and put a glove on. And he picked it up and he put it in a bag and zipped it and says, "You're okay now." Oh, I love that. It just brought great joy to me to be able to experience the growth and seeing that he understands what poison is now. Do you know that our Heavenly Father is just as full of joy when he watches us grow spiritually? He is just as excited about that. One of the most incredible things in the Bible, though, is that God says he has given us gifts, free gifts, in order to grow us. It's the truth. God has poured out gifts from heaven to help aid our growth in the Spirit. It's to help us accomplish what God has given us to do in our brief time on planet Earth. He has poured out his gifts to us. Now, he could have done all this by himself without our help. He certainly could have. He could have had the angels come and do it all. But he said he wanted us to. Now, you may ask the question, like, what gifts? Like, I don't know about any gifts. I don't know that I have any gifts. What gifts? What have I got to offer? Well, thank you for asking, because I'm going to answer that question. Each one of us has a unique DNA that makes you unique to any other person on the face of the earth, right? God has given every one of us a unique, something that is uniquely our own, that is our life. God did that. He's a creator. So we can be sure of these things. First of all, God made you. You're unique. God saved you. You're uniquely now made as a daughter or son of God. And God gifted you. You are uniquely, according to who you are, gifted by God. Now, if our unique giftings, the gifts God gave us, are there to grow us, then wouldn't it be a smart idea for us to find out maybe what the gifts are that God's given us so we can start using them? Yes, it would. Now, a lot of times, we don't think we have gifts. Or a lot of times, people think that they would rather have somebody else's gift. And they start imitating other people's gifts. When I was a teenager, believe me, I was there one day. And I was probably about 11th grade, junior in high school. And I had gone to a Christian camp called CFO Camp. Love CFO Camp. And it was a great place for spirit-filled people to be. And I loved being there, was there with a bunch of my friends, and there were people from all over the state and actually all over the South at this place. It was wonderful. And we enjoyed what was going on there. The music was great. The worship was great. Everything was great. And there was this one guy who came with a college group from Florida. He was sort of one of the youth leaders. His name was Bo Wright. And Bo was like, I just admired him from the very beginning. He just had a kind countenance, and man, he was a Florida guy. He had like bleached long blonde curly hair, and he had tan face, tan arm, tan legs, walked around in like sandals like Jesus, sort of had that Jesus hair going, except it was sun bleached. And he had a sort of a Irish voice where he spoke so humbly and so softly. And he had a guitar. And he'd pull the guitar out and he'd sing. And oh man, it was incredible. And I just thought, man, I got to be like this guy. So one evening we were all sitting around the table eating supper and with my friends that knew me pretty well. And somebody asked me a question and I sort of answered in sort of an Irish, sort of wispy voice. I was so humble in the way I answered the question. And I really did that. And then, because I knew I had to be him. And this friend of mine looked at me and says, Mark Sims, would you quit trying to be Bo Wright? So I returned to my loud, obnoxious self. Paul wrote this in the scripture. He said, I wish that all of you were as I am, but each one of you has your own gift from God. One has his gift, another that one. So we all have a gift. This is what we know. At least everyone has at least one spiritual gift. That's one thing we know for sure. Now that's good news, because that means God hadn't left anybody out. That's what the scripture says. He's given each one at least a gift. And according to Jesus in the parable of the talents, if you use any gift God gives you, if you use it faithfully and well, God then will give you more gifts and will bless you with more responsibility and more gifts. He's not stingy with giving gifts. He just wants to make sure that they're not wasted. Here's something else to know, all right? Spiritual gifts are meant to be uncovered and discovered, not chosen. It's true. It's not up to choose which ones we had. Pastor Ron, you may remember this one time, but a lady came to the church one time. She was very, very openly Christian and vocal. And she came and she announced, I have 7 of the 9 gifts and I'm working on the next 2. Folks, that is not how it works. It's not like God spreads out a menu and all the gifts and says, hey, pick the ones you want. If that happened, we would all pick the same ones and the world wouldn't get what it needs. Imagine if God wanted you to pick your own gifts. Like, could you do that? That's a lot of pressure. That's a lot of pressure. Think about it. If gifts shape your life and your purpose, if that's what they do, and if we have a God who knows the future and knows us better than we know ourselves, isn't it a good idea to let him do the choosing? It's good for him to decide which gifts we have. I remember the story of the scripture of Moses. Remember, God had Moses up on the mountain. He saw the burning bush, and Moses was freaked out. And God said, hey, I want you to go to Pharaoh in Egypt, where he was already in trouble. They had a death warrant on him. I want you to go to Pharaoh and set my people free. And Moses goes, not me. And he said, I can't talk good. I stutter. I can't talk good. This can't be me. Can't do that. God says, no, I want you to go speak to Pharaoh. He said, I can't do it. Can't do it. I'm not gifted with that. I can't talk good. Can I take my brother Aaron? Because Aaron's a good speaker. And God says, well, I want you to go, but I'll let you take Aaron with you. And so he took Aaron. You know what I read in the scripture? Aaron didn't say one stinking word. Moses said everything to Pharaoh that had to be said because God gifted him to do it. It's not what he thought. It's what God gifted him to do. Poor Aaron. He was just there to hang out, I guess. Here's another important thing to know. Spiritual gifts are given to serve others. Spiritual gifts are given to us to serve others. Look at what Scripture says. Each one of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in various forms. Gifts are not given to us to make us famous or to make us well-liked or to be famous influencers or to be self-serving in any way. Look, you will know when you're using your gifts well if the people that you're serving are growing in their spiritual faith. That's the truth. It won't be because you get an award for it. It'll be because they're growing. Isn't it amazing? The same gift that's growing you is using you to help grow other people. Wow! Who thought of that? That would be God. That's been in the plan the whole time. God has worked it out perfectly. As he grows us, we help other people grow. That's why gifts are so important. It works beautifully. I like what 1 Corinthians 12 says. It says, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. We don't own them all. We just own what God has given us. The Bible speaks in the scripture of a huge variety of spiritual gifts. Like a lot of them. Some of them are miraculous, like supernatural kind of gifts. You know, healing and miracles and things like that. They're things that God chooses at God's time. It's not us. Hey, I think I'm going to do 3 miracles today. It's not how it works. Some of them are supernatural gifts like that. And other gifts are abilities that God has used that are in your life or things that you've been interested in before that have been natural talents and abilities and inclinations that are unique to you, but God wants to use those things. He's the one that placed those in your life. And they may have been in your life since you were a child, but God wants to use them. There's a huge list. Let me just show you the list that God put in the scripture, okay? Look at this. Encouragement, giving, leadership, mercy, prophecy, service, teaching, administration, apostle, discernment, faith, healing, helps, knowledge, miracles, tongues, interpretation of tongues, wisdom, evangelism, pastor, hospitality, martyrdom, everybody's loving that one, missionary. I'm sure there's some new ones in the kingdom that God has created too, like pilots and computer techies and mechanics and software geniuses and ballerinas and all those things. God, there are so many things in our lives that we discover and we say, God, how do you want to use that in my life? Think about that. It's a big deal. As you can see, so when you discover your gifts, you suddenly have a new sense of purpose. Like maybe the reason that you're on the earth. Like you understand, this is my reason for being. This is my reason for living. We're able to do kingdom work. I'm telling you, when you do work of the kingdom, there's this satisfaction and purpose that literally gives us a reason to wake up every morning. And it's true. It's so true. Some of you may be aware of a word. You may have heard this somewhere. It's actually a Japanese language word. It comes from the island of Okinawa. And it sort of describes what I'm talking about today. And I know it's weird for me to pull out it's not a Hebrew or Greek word. This is a Japanese word. In fact, I brought my coat because I have it on the back of my jacket. It's the word ikigai. Ikigai. It's not like a word we say every day, okay? Ikigai. It's made from two Japanese words. Iki means life, and gai means worth or value. An Okinawan would tell you this. Ikigai is the reason I get up out of bed every morning, no matter what I'm going through. Ikigai is my reason for living. It's navigating every single day with joy and purpose. Ikigai describes a person's heart that says, I want to take every opportunity I can to make the very best out of this day. That's what ikigai is to the Okinawans. It's not about moving up the ladder of success. It's not about making a lot of money. It's the reason for getting out of bed every morning and going through the day and serving God with all your heart. That's what it is. What is ikigai in your life? That's how God wants us to tackle every day. Instead of waking up with anxiety and fear, instead of waking up with dread of what this day holds, wouldn't it be better to wake up and go, God, what have you got for me today? You've given me gifts. Which ones are you going to use in my life today? That's ikigai. That's what I'm talking about. There are these things called Venn diagrams. You've heard of them before. A Venn diagram, it's like this thing where you put circles and boxes and they blend together. It's like when you take four different concepts and you blend them together and it becomes something bigger than any one of those concepts. Well, that's called a Venn diagram, and that's the one I'm showing you. I've sort of Christianized ikigai and made it into a Venn diagram, okay? So here it is. This is the Christian ikigai Venn diagram, and I just want to take you through it for a minute so you can understand where your gifts are coming from. All right, first of all, let's go to the center. Notice, ikigai. That's bigger than any one of those four. It's just ikigai. It's the reason to get up in the morning. It's your central theme. It's your deepest desire to fulfill what Jesus said when he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, body, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's what it is. Now, it's a blending of four different things. All right, here's the first one. Look at the left circle. Let's all look at that little red left circle over there. What you're good at. What you're good at. By the way, God cares what you're good at. All right? That's your strengths, your talents, your natural abilities, which, by the way, also come from God. I mean, it may be things you do with your hands. It may be you're good at building or fixing. Several weeks ago, I was able to have a wonderful conversation with William Wedderburg, who came to me and said, hey, look, man, I wish there was a way that people that like to fix things and repair things, I wish we could get a group together and form a life group where we could go and help people that maybe people that are living by themselves, that are older, that need help, and we can do. And you know what? They built a life group with people going and already been to several places, and it's just amazing. That's the gift of God being used in the church. I love that. That's incredible. It may be something like cooking. Diane Newcomb has this incredible life group right now that's where they care for caregivers, and they make meals like twice a month. They make meals and take them to caregivers. People who care for other people sometimes don't have time to care for themselves. And they're doing it. You know what? That's using the gift that they have. They love to cook. They love to help with things like that. Or it may be not just using your hands. Maybe it's using your mind. Organizing. Creating. Networking. When we have holidays and our building is decorated beautifully, it's because somebody's using their gifts. That's so important. Or it may be your voice. Hey, what about a worship team up here with incredible voices? Aren't they being used of God? Isn't that a gift to us? Listen, Charmaine, everybody knows who Charmaine is. Charmaine, let me tell you about that girl. She came from the inner city of Birmingham, grew up in a very, very difficult home in a bad part of town, and had a lot of things she had to deal with. When Master's Commission would go to that neighborhood, we made friends with her. Karen Lewis was the first one, I think, to make a friend. She tied Karen to a tree one time because she didn't want Karen to leave. And but she just began to learn and walk in God. And she was 12 years old, folks. Pastor Ron, you remember this. She was 12 years old and came in here and sang a song that she wrote to this church. And, you know, later on when she graduated from high school, she became part of Master's Commission, ended up being a worship leader, and then came on our staff. And here she is, incredible worship leader. Look at the gift that God gave her, right? Hey, we could keep going. I'm sitting here looking at Jordan Harvely on the front row right there. I remember meeting Jordan Harvely at the Peach down in Clanton. He agreed to meet me. I think he wondered who I was going to be. I was probably too old for him. But I walked. We met and sort of talked a little bit. We talked about some opportunities for him. And he grew up also in a very difficult situation. A survivor of attempted abortion, and raised by his aunt and uncle. Let me tell you what this guy did. He came and he said, "Yeah, I think I need discipleship as well as music." And he came here, and all of a sudden he just began to grow. He just began to grow, and he's an incredible worship leader. Wow. Wow. It's not just those kind of things. It might be, maybe you're good with money. Like, maybe you know how to make it really well. And you're an incredible giver. Or maybe you use your time wisely. Think about the people that are going on missions trips all the time. They may have some extra time, and they could be going on a vacation somewhere on their own, but instead they're going and ministering to people. They're using a gift that they have. All right, that's what you're good at. Let's go to the top one. What you love. What you love, that's what you're naturally inclined to do. It's part of your personality. It's sort of your passion. It's the thing that satisfies you the most. God cares about that. It's what fills your love tank, some would say. I like the story of this guy named Eric Little. Eric Little was, this is back in the early 1900s, Eric Little was a Scottish guy. And he felt a call to go to China as a missionary. This was like in the 1920s. It was a long time ago. And Eric Little wanted to go to China, but he also was a fast runner. And he ran and won a bunch of races in Scotland. And so the leaders in the United Kingdom were going, "Hey, man, you need to be at one in our Olympic team." And so he thought, well, that might work. So he got chosen for the Olympic team. And his family came to him and said, "How dare you use your talents for the Olympics? How dare you? You're called to go to China to work for God. You don't need to worry about this Olympic thing." And this is what he said. I love it. He said, this is a quote. He said to his sister who was rebuking him, he said, "I was made for China. I'm going to China. But God also made me fast. And when I run, I feel his presence." And so she said, "Well, shut my mouth." Folks, the guy went to the Olympics. And they scheduled a race for him on Sunday. And he said, I will not run on Sunday. It's the Sabbath day. And I won't run. I won't do something for myself on Sunday. And so the prince of Wales at the time, who's going to be the king, the prince of Wales got angry and says, you must do as your king says. And he says, I'm sorry, sir. I love my country, but I'm not going to disobey God. And made the king mad, made the newspapers, and they worked it out. Somebody worked it out to let him run in a race he had never run before on Saturday. He ran the race, won the gold medal, became an international news item, and him being in front of the public paid for every bit of his mission work in China. That's what God does. That's what God does. By the way, he was in China all the way through World War II, and when the communists took over China, he died as a martyr. He said, I was made for China, but he runs fast. That was amazing. I love that story. You know, this week, I had gotten an email saying that a fellow named Josh, he's in the service today, a fellow named Josh had filled out, he wanted to join the team of spiritual experiences. That's baby dedications and water baptism. By the way, we're going to be baptizing 16 people today. Amazing. Praise the Lord. And spiritual experiences. And I said, well, Josh, why did you feel like this was a good place for you? He said, well, my favorite verse in the Bible is Matthew 28:19, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he said, and where I work, I witness to people, and if I win somebody to God, I want to bring them to church, and I want to be with them when they're baptized. Now, that's awesome. That's something you love becomes a passion in your life to fulfill. I love that. Josh, I'm looking forward to that today. All right, let's look at the right circle, what the world needs. God has placed in every one of his children the desire to serve, to care for, to love, to rescue, to save, to meet needs, to lift up, to help. He's put that in our hearts, and he's put that in the mission of the church. So what we do is we look and see, God, what do you want to do out there for people who need you? What can we do to help people? And God shows us. And that's part of what it is. That's part of what matters the most. Just yesterday, Peggy and I were at a wedding, and we were able to talk with a precious, wonderful couple who's in our church, Randy and Ben. We talked with Randy last night, and she was sharing with us. She has joined Nikki and the special needs team here, and she says, oh, I'm not doing this because I need a place to serve. I'm doing this because this is my calling. Now, isn't that amazing? I love it when that kind of stuff happens. That's what the world needs. It motivates you. So I want you to know, if you use whatever gift you have, it's because the world needs it. They need to see that gift in you. So you're honoring God every time you use the gifts of God, regardless of where you use them. Now let's look at the bottom circle. If I was using that as a regular, like, Venn diagram, this would be something somebody would put what allows you to make money with. If you do all those things and you make money, you'll be happy, they say. This is not what that is. I had to change that. I had to Christianize this thing. What brings eternal reward? What brings eternal reward? There's no greater satisfaction in the life of a Christian than knowing that what you say, what you do, how you act, how you live, can make an eternal difference in somebody's life. Isn't that true? There's no greater satisfaction in the world. It's amazing how our simple obedience to God in using the gifts that he's given us can bring eternal consequences that someday only heaven will reveal what all it was. Recently, I was able to, I got a phone call about a person who didn't know the Lord, had years ago walked away from God. and was on their deathbed and was in a coma. And they just said, pray. And so I decided I would just go up to the hospital where they were. And I had to go to Princeton, which is a long way off. And on my way there, I almost got hit by a truck. It was a lot of problems. And I thought twice about just going home and saying, I'll go another day. But I just kept going. And so I went and I parked and I went in and I found out where he was. And I went in and his daughter said, if you could just pray over him. And I felt the Lord say, just speak to him. He's in a coma, but just speak to him. So I just leaned over and spoke to him. Told him it wasn't too late. He could call him the Lord. And then I was praying over him and tears began to roll down his cheeks. And his daughter said, he heard you. He heard you. He woke up for a brief period of time, a couple of days later, and gave evidence that he was with the Lord. He'd given his heart to the Lord. Let me tell you what. When you share a gift that you have, it's not a gift for you. It's your gift that you're using, but it's a gift. That family got the greatest gift in the world. And so did that man. Imagine the difference in reward. Not for me, for them. So you say, what do I do now? Well, number one, pray about it. God, what are my gifts? I don't care how old or young you are. God, what are my gifts? Help me. I want to find my gifts. I want to find a gift and any other you give me. Today, in a few moments, we're going to have a time for you. If you want to, you can go and let a prayer team member pray over you and ask God to bring forth that gift in your life. Just a quick laying hands and praying for you. Second thing you can do, and I'm just going to just be real practical here. You just go to kingwoodchurch.com and look on our website and hit this thing that says start serving. And there are opportunities that we have in our church for you to serve and to use your gifts. And there's even in there a spiritual gifts assessment. You can sort of answer a few questions that it sort of shows you maybe what some of those spiritual gifts are, and it'll help you. Come on, let's be practical about it. God wants to use you. But there's one last thing I want to mention to you before we finish. I don't want to go before I mention the most wonderful gift the Father has given believers. He's given the gift of Jesus to the world, but he's given believers something, and it's in Acts 2:38. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. When you come to Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you. But the Holy Spirit wants to do more than that. The Bible teaches that you can be baptized in the Holy Spirit. That means filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit. And let me tell you what, you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of God in your life, and all of a sudden you're a different person. And your effect is eternal in people's lives. So today I want to tell you, we're going to sing a song here in just a moment. And afterwards our prayer team is going to come and stand. And I'm going to ask you, after the song is over, I'll come back and let you know it's time. I want you, if you want the gifts of God to come into your life, you want to seek God for the gifts, or if you want to receive the baptism with the Holy Spirit, I want you to come and stand and let just a prayer team member, they're just going to lay hands and pray for you for a second. They're just going to pray over you and ask God to bring those gifts to life in your life. Because our world is falling apart. We need to use the gifts God has given us. Heavenly Father, Lord, you say what I can't say today. Lord, you say the stuff in people's hearts while we're singing this song. You do what only you can do. And then, Lord, we'll pray, and you will begin showing people their gifts. And you may fill certain ones with the baptism of the Holy Spirit today as they trust you, And then, Lord, we'll go out and rejoice with the people that are being baptized in water. And then we will go out.